Listen to this remarkable statement, Daniel 1 and verse 21. It says, "Thus Daniel continued until the first year of King Cyrus." This verse is so short, you almost miss it as you move from chapter 1 to the captivating prophecy of chapter 2. But take a good look at it, because it tells a very important story. As the book of Daniel opens, the city of Jerusalem lays in ruins. The children of Israel have been led away in chains, and the sacred vessels from the temple have been desecrated and put on display in a pagan house of worship. Instead of a decisive victory, the way it was back in the days of Moses, the Israelites have suffered a terrible humiliation, and the picture is pretty bleak. There is no indication that the people are going to stage an uprising and overthrow the Babylonians. There is no hope of escape for Daniel and his friends. By all appearances, the God of Israel has disappeared from the picture, leaving the descendants of Abraham to fend for themselves. But then, at the very end of chapter 1, there's this short little statement that changes the whole picture. Take a look at it again. It says, "Thus Daniel continued until the first year of King Cyrus." So, how does that change everything? Well, it's really pretty simple. Nebuchadnezzar was a Babylonian king, and Cyrus was a Persian. In one short sentence, God reminds his readers that Daniel actually outlived the mighty Babylonian Empire and survived until Cyrus came to offer deliverance to the Israelites. Daniel might have had to pass through a terrible experience, but he lived to see the empire that had troubled his people pass right off the stage of world history. Now, take that thought and apply it to your own life. If you look carefully through the book of Revelation, you begin to find imagery that compares the defeat of Babylon by Cyrus to the second coming of Christ. The world we live in today is described as Babylon in several places, and toward the end of the book, you find stirring descriptions of that modern-day Babylon collapsing and God's people being delivered. The connection between Cyrus and Jesus is so strong that when God speaks about this Persian king in Isaiah chapter 45, he calls Cyrus his anointed, which is the literal meaning of the word Messiah. And listen to the messianic language used to describe Cyrus over in Isaiah, the 44th chapter, one of the most remarkable prophecies in the entire Bible. Verse 28, "Who says of Cyrus, 'He is my shepherd,' and he shall perform all my pleasure, even saying to Jerusalem, 'You shall be built,' and to the temple, 'Your foundation shall be laid.'" Now, did you catch this? Cyrus is described as God's shepherd, kind of like the way Jesus is described in the New Testament as the good shepherd. And Cyrus restores the children of Israel to the city of Jerusalem, the way Jesus brings down the new Jerusalem in the book of Revelation. If you read the stories of Cyrus carefully, you'll find he's a type or a shadow of Jesus, which brings us back to this statement about Daniel. He might have been in Babylonian captivity, but even before we read the rest of the story, we discover that he lives until Cyrus comes. Now, think about what that means for you. You might be struggling in this tired old world, but if you're connected to the living God, you know where you're going to be when God sets things straight and Jesus returns. And that, of course, makes a Daniel kind of life just a better way to live.